Hi there, club members, and welcome to this week's live session. Let's go straight to the Trello board and have a look what's going on today. Share my screen. I'm very excited today. I've got my new desk finally from IKEA. With all the restrictions and everything that went on, it took me a month to get this desk, and I'm finally sitting at it. So I've just finished the prep for today's live session because I was insistent on getting the desk set up straight away. Very impetuous. No patience. Okay, so for today's live session, we are going to, I'm going to give you an update about the My Smile Sim doing session. Also, a reminder to re-register for the club membership. And our main focus today is confidence. Then we're going to go through a bit of a daily focus. So the first thing is the My Doing session for, sorry, the My Smile Sim doing session. And so it's listed over the top here under the video tutorials. I don't have the video linked as yet. And actually, I can take out that register link because the recording is coming soon. I wanted to do my bits and pieces here. I wanted to do a well-edited version of it so it didn't go on for too long. So the recording has been done. I've edited it. I have sent it through to John and Les of My Smile Sim and Andy Lee from Health Practice Digital. He had some wonderful things to say around that promotion of My Smile Sim. And once I get there, okay, that I can go ahead and send out the recording, it'll be with you. So it won't be too far away. There's also a special offer within My Smile Sim as well, where you can get some free simulations done for a couple of months, which is fantastic. But you'll learn more about that later. So I'll put here coming soon. And I know a couple of you are ready and eager and waiting to get that happening, which is fantastic. The other thing to remind you of is to register now for your club membership. So as you know, since April, the club has been established and has been a free service to all of the practices. We've got over 60 practices involved now, which is absolutely awesome. And there are two levels of membership that you can re-register under because it is becoming a paid membership this month. You've got through the end of this month to register yourselves with either level of the membership, which I'll quickly move through for you. But as of the 31st of October, it's 31 days in October, yes, as of the 31st of October, you will need to have re-registered to continue your involvement in the club. I'm hoping that you're finding great value in all of the weekly live sessions and the doing sessions that we deliver. Oops, wrong area. There we go. And as you know, it can get overwhelming at times with the amount of information that's coming your way from the club, but it is designed to be cherry-picked of what's relevant to you at the moment. And you'll know that. Just listen to the live recordings on the way to work or home from work or on a daily walk every day, maybe during your lunch break. If there's anything relevant for your team members, encourage them to watch the recording as well, and then you can start to implement the things that are needed in your practice straight away, slowly but surely improving the level of service you're providing your patients, improving the environment that you're creating for your team members, and improving the success of your practice. The two levels of membership also come with a discount if you are in a position where it's going to be really tricky for you to outlay any money at the moment. And to move through what you get within your club membership, and there's a reason behind re-registering, and that's because your original registration required no credit card details. I now need the credit card details. And so you can opt for the club basic, and this is $49 a month. You maintain involvement in the weekly live sessions. You also still have complete access to the previous live sessions that are part of the club hub. And you've got the inclusion to the club private Facebook group. If you want to go ahead with the club basic, $49 per month, click get started and go nuts. And then we'll see you next Wednesday. So if you don't re-register by the end of this week, then unfortunately, you won't be receiving any more emails and you won't be attending any of the live sessions or have any exposure to the live sessions at all. And I want to have you all remain as members. I really do enjoy providing this as a product to dental practices. I think it's extremely useful and valuable, and it can really take your team on a journey of both self-improvement but also improvement in terms of their own personal performance and team performance, and give you a lot of great ideas on how to treat patients better and how to turn your phone off when you're doing a recording. The second level of club membership is the club membership. So one's the basic one and the other one is the full club membership. That's $497 a month. You get the weekly live sessions, access to the club hub with all of the previous live sessions, just like the club basic level, the inclusion to the club private Facebook group as well. You also get enrollment, continued enrollment in the JPPS online mini courses as well. So the 17 titles that make up the mini courses, things such as developing a great recall strategy, how to improve your team performance, how to reactivate inactive patients, how to better engage patients in the dental surgery in terms of their oral conditions and the solutions that you're providing them. So there's 17 titles in total. Those titles will be added to, but with the full club membership, you get that membership as well. You get access to all of those 17 courses for all of your team members. Because you out there have been club members from the very start or partway through the journey, I'm not going to remove you guys from the JPPS online courses. So you will remain enrolled in those. So don't fear that. It's only new club basic members that jump on board that will have to won't get access to that until they have the club full membership. The other additional things that you get when you've got full club membership are two very exciting things. I hope you agree. One is an hour with me every month. Just you and me, we talk about your practice, your unique desires, wants, needs, and challenges, and we help move you through any of these sort of barriers to your success as possible. And then you also get 1 hour with Charles every month. Extraordinary value. With Charles, you go on a bit of a self-awareness journey and you can become a greater performer yourself, help learn lovely leadership skills for your team, for you to pass on to your team members and for you to use with your team members, but also how to gain a greater experience of life in general. And so that's going to be a powerful session every month. So hopefully you see the value of those as well and you jump on board with the full club membership so you can really start to experience some great change both in your business but also in yourself. So the cutoff point is the 31st of October. Sign up now for the club basic or the club full membership and we will continue on this beautiful journey together. Now, where are we going? Oh, I wasn't even sharing screen through that. I'm going to share my screen so you can actually see what I was talking about. So when you go to the julieparkerpracticesuccess.com or .com.au site, you go to the club and you scroll all the way down to the bottom. And that is where you get to choose between the club basic membership and the club full membership. So hopefully you will remain on board. Let's go back to our Trello board. I'm jumping all over the place here. Okay, main topic for today is confidence, the power that confidence has in our world, how to develop confidence in others, and how to build your own self-confidence. And the reason why I have chosen this as a topic is twofold. Number one, Charles has got a podcast, the Charles Covetz Show. Some of you may be aware of it, certainly in the club Facebook group. Every week I post the episode and you may even get it via email as well. The Charles Covetz Show is all around self-awareness and improving the quality of your life by shifting beliefs and developing strategies that are very helpful in the way you manage your world. on episode 26 a few weeks ago, his main topic was confidence, and it triggered such thoughts in me. I thought, gosh, I really want to do something with this. And then subsequent to that, I've had two clients contact me, and the reason why they started programs with me is to build the confidence up in their existing team members. So they see their team members as capable of having a great performance, but it's their lack of confidence that's really holding them back. And I thought, gosh, that's a really interesting thing, that confidence has been so strong in my world. So I thought, why not do a full session on it during a live session? Because as we know, if others are experiencing these sort of barriers to success, it is likely that many more are as well. So let me go to the PowerPoint presentation. And I pop the sound on because there's a couple of videos that I want to play you. So first of all, let's talk a little bit about confidence itself, the power of self-confidence, how to build it in your team members, and also how to build it within yourself as well. So the kind of things that happen when there is a lack of self-confidence in yourself or your team members is that that lack of self-confidence can lead to limiting beliefs. That's where a lot of the lack of self-confidence comes from, are the limiting beliefs in your brain. And then you can even further build on those limiting beliefs by trying something, failing, and then you get that internal voice in the back of your head going, see, I knew you'd fail again. You see, I don't know why you try anything new. You always fail. That's just the way the world works for you. And so a lot of the work around confidence is tackling that negative voice in the back of your mind that likes to remind you that you're incapable of doing things and reminds you of all the bad things you've done in your life. That same little voice that sometimes comes into your head just when you're about to fall off to sleep, and it reminds you of that embarrassing thing that happened 10 years ago that you just can't shift out of your brain. So the imposter syndrome is another classic example of someone with a lack of confidence. And the imposter syndrome, I never really quite understood it until I became more of an entrepreneur, not so much when I owned my own dental practice, but going into this space of developing something from scratch and a unique new type of business where I'm putting myself out there as, hey, listen to me, I know everything, you should all learn from me. The problem with that is that a lot of, you know, that little voice in the back of your head sits there and says, why would anyone listen to you? Why do you think you know everything? You can't know everything, so everyone will be able to punch holes in what you do deliver. Now, I didn't really have that terribly badly at all. I did have that little niggling thing of who do you think you are a little bit, but imposter syndrome is a very big and a very real thing for many, many people. I'm not going to strive to get that job promotion because who do I think I am where I think I'm good enough to go for that? I don't deserve that level of success. And you'll see there's a few quotes on the side here of that nasty little niggling voice that can be playing in the back of your mind. Things like, you are only acceptable if you're perfect. You don't deserve that level of success. You aren't good enough. Who do you think you are? Mistakes make you a bad person. So I think we are all very, very familiar with this negative voice. The other things that the lack of self-confidence can lead to is a feeling or a need, a perceived need for perfectionism. I must be perfect because I'm not acceptable if I'm not perfect. I'm not good enough if I'm not perfect. Limited success. So if you have a lack of confidence in yourself, the way you hold yourself, the things you strive for, the challenges you undertake are all very limited. You like to remain just in your comfort zone because that's where you feel competent, and you are less likely to stretch yourself out of that competency feeling, outside of that comfort zone, and feeling those unsure feelings that you get when you're trying to learn something new. You don't want to go there. Your level of self-confidence isn't strong enough to hold you there. And so you do find that there is, I'm going to get my little pointer here too, so you can actually see where I'm pointing, that there is limited success with somebody who is lacking self-confidence, and limited opportunities come their way. In essence, they don't even see the opportunities when they do present themselves because they're too busy listening to the negative voice. That opportunity is not for you. You're not good enough to receive that opportunity. You wouldn't be able to do anything with it anyway. You'd fail at it. And the problem is with low self-confidence is that it also leads to low self-confidence. And so it's an ever spiraling down of releasing your power over your own life. And you're not going to be able to claim your right to success and an ability to thrive because you're too busy listening to the negative voices in your head. But I've got something to help that, which is exciting. It worked for me, so I'm hoping it's going to work for everybody else as well. If it had worked for me, why wouldn't it work for everybody else? And so you can see a lack of self-confidence leads to unhelpful beliefs and behaviours in your life. So let's have a look at what high self-confidence leads to. And we can all picture somebody who is highly confident. And one of the first thoughts that I wanted to share was, keep in mind, elite athletes, they have all the abilities. They have the skills. They have practiced over and over and over again. We talk about what it takes to become a master at something, and that is to research what you need to do. You need to develop your skills. You need to have that practice and repetition over your skills. And athletes can do all of that. But if they don't have that element of self-confidence, they're not going to win. And Charles often talks about what's the 1% that makes you go from coming second place all the time to becoming a winner. And the tiny snippets of seconds that is the difference between second and first, it could be at 0.1 of a second that you lose a race by and then end up meaning thousands and thousands of dollars in winning money that you don't get. So these little 1% changes that you can make in what you do could be your self-confidence. And I recently was listening, not attentively, it was going on in the background, but Tiger Woods, you know, he's gone through so many coaches because he knows that we need to have fresh blood going through the coaching process and learning fresh skills and all the rest of it. And they teach him how to swing and how to hit the ball and how to hold his arms and his body and his hips and all of those things, all the physical stuff. But when his scandals came out about affairs and all the rest of it, it knocked his self-confidence. And that knocking of self-confidence took him out of the top. He started not performing nearly as well. And so if you want any indication of the importance of self-confidence in your world, you can train, you can read, you can research as much as you like. The only way you are going to truly master something, truly win at something, is if you make sure you've got the self-belief that you've got the confidence to be able to move forward and win and do it and achieve. So self-confidence has an enormous impact on your overall performance. The other areas that a high level of self-confidence can lead to is you'll become quicker at learning. One of the things that inhibits our learning is, one, we fear feeling incompetent. And so we resist those feelings of incompetence, resist the prospect of failing, resist the prospect of making mistakes in order to learn and master something new. And because we're resisting the whole process, it stunts the way we learn. It makes the learning process difficult and laborious. And again, you have all these little voices popping up. You see, you can't learn anything new. You see, you must be too old to learn something new. You're no good at it. Come on, just accept it. I laugh every time I think about these negative voices because they sound so crazy when you say them out loud, but they do go on in our subconscious. And so once you've got a high level of self-confidence, you get rid of all of that. You don't have those as barriers to learning, and so you learn more quickly. You are also more adaptable to change because you know that you have the confidence to move through life and manage whatever obstacles come up, whatever challenges come your way. Therefore, again, you're not putting up the resistance to what change can deliver into your life. And so you are more adaptable to change. You don't have to get over the whole resistance part to then embrace the change and go, great, well, how can we make this the best level of change it can possibly be? How can I help others move through this change? You are then eager to tackle new and unfamiliar work. And so if you go to we can all conjure up the image of a staff member. Let's just say she's a receptionist. And let's just say she's been in the role for 15 years, a long time, does things her own way. This is the way I do things. These are my systems. These are my processes. I've been in the role long enough and I haven't really had any further training, and so I'm in my comfort zone. I've been in my comfort zone for so long in this role now, I'm really not eager to step outside of that and learn anything new. And so the minute something happens where all of a sudden we're going to start doing Invisalign, I have to learn all the new codes and I have to learn how to process those payments and those this and those that's, you are less likely to want to do that because it's requiring enormous energy from you. In my comfort zone, I expend this level of energy and I know everything 100%. I'm truly comfortable, which is why I call it the comfort zone. However, if you give me something new, all of a sudden I'm going to have to go to more effort. I'm going to have to make a few mistakes, feel a bit incompetent, and be on that painful learning journey. And I'm just not interested. I'm stuck in my ways now. However, if that person has got a high level of self-confidence, they will know that those challenges are going to be in place, that discomfort will be in place, but it won't faze them because they've got the self-confidence to know they'll be able to move through it rapidly and or whatever time it takes and come out the other end better off having mastered this new thing. And so they're more eager to take on new and unfamiliar work and new challenges. A higher level of self-confidence also leads you to be able to aspire to higher goals and dreams because you're not listening to the negative voice saying you can't do it. You're listening to the positive one that's saying, yeah, you can. And I've got a few examples over on the right here. You've succeeded before. Why not now? Makes perfect sense. You've succeeded before. Why wouldn't you succeed now? You are just as competent as anyone else and you try harder. Of course, you'll be good. People tell you they admire you. Just choose to believe them. What's the worst that can happen? Oh, I fail. Who cares? You are a success. I thrive on self-growth and I embrace the discomfort that comes with it. So you're not resisting it. Life is for the living. So it depends, your level of self-confidence depends on which voices are strongest in your brain, which ones you're paying most attention to. And so you do get to aspire to higher goals and dreams because you know in the back of your mind that you can achieve them if you apply yourself. Resilience, higher self-confidence leads to resilience because you have this self-esteem that says, I'm capable, I'm a survivor, I can get stuff done. Your level of resilience and bouncing back when things don't go your way is stronger. And when I was listening to Charles's podcast around self-confidence, one of the biggest things that came into my mind was, oh my God, anxiety. This is the answer to anxiety. How can you feel anxious when you've got astounding levels of self-confidence, when you know you are a hugely capable human being? Maybe that's what the answer is to anxiety, which is why I've gone less anxiety for higher self-confidence. Better opportunities. So when you're moving through your world, taking on fresh challenges, taking on new things, learning new things all the time, and you have got this air of self-confidence around you, you get better opportunities coming your way. You're looking for the opportunities. You're looking for how to do things differently and how what's going to be good for your life going forward. It's not going to remain the same. It's going to be exciting and new all the time. And you'll achieve greater levels of success because you're doing more stuff. You're becoming master of more things. And just like low self-confidence begets low self-confidence and feeds low self-confidence, high self-confidence feeds high self-confidence. So it's glorious. It's just so easy. Just feel self-confident. It's the easiest thing in the world, isn't it? So what causes low self-confidence? Certainly past experiences can. And when we are a child and we have a negative experience and someone tells us that we're useless or that we can't learn or you're a bad child, we lock that away in our brains and we often don't ever address that thought again. We've processed it emotionally as a child and then we create a habit from that belief that we carry through all of our adult life without ever really addressing that again. And I have done NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and I'm a practitioner of it. And one of the useful processes that NLP can take you through is something called timeline therapy. And this is where you go into a bit of a hypnotic state, but you're literally consciously picked up from your adult self. You go back all the way down your life journey, down. Maybe you were 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10, and you are plonked and you're overseeing a little scenario where you were told you were useless or you can't learn, for example. And you get to look at that and recognize all the emotions and beliefs that happened as a result of that. So you understand the emotional attachment to the thought of learning and the belief that I struggle learning because of that. But then you get to look at that with your fresh adult eyes and you shift your belief because you've got a greater awareness, a greater understanding now as an adult. And you no longer need the childlike emotional processing of that event. So you get rid of it and you layer in your more self-aware, more adult perception of what actually happened. And you attach that belief to that event instead. It is such a powerful process. It truly is. But this is where past experiences can create lifelong habits. And those lifelong habits can quite often be unhelpful in terms of our self-confidence. Another thing that can cause low self-confidence is people in your life. And I've put there micromanagement because this, and many of you will know my story of micromanagement. I have been a micromanager in the past. It was truly highlighted to me when I left that job where I was a micromanager and I went into a new job and I was being micromanaged. I was like the victim, if you like, of the micromanagement. And I couldn't believe that within 6 months of someone hovering over me, questioning everything I did, removing all traces of autonomy and thinking, doing all the thinking for me, how quickly in a 6 month period, my self-confidence plummeted. My short-term memory and my problem-solving skills also suffered. And when I was allowed to get out of that job and go back to my previous job, because my self-confidence just couldn't take it anymore, the person I had been micromanaging didn't want me back, understandably so. And by then I truly understood the reasons why. Wonderfully, she and I met and discussed and created a plan of me coming back in without any micromanagement. And I did transform my management of people and working with people to remove the micromanagement part of me out. It's something that, it's like alcoholism, it's something you always got to be aware of because the inclination is to go, oh, it's just easier if you just do it my way, it's more comfortable for me. But it is something that I always try to pay attention to. I encourage everybody out there to pay attention to it too because it is absolutely one of the most direct ways you can remove someone's self-confidence and damage whatever is there. So people in your life can have this effect. Of course, it's not just in a work environment. We are talking about work environments, you know, within the club. But people in your life too, we all know those friends and the family members that the minute you say, I might try to do this, oh, you don't want to do that. What if you fail? What if you do that course, but then you can't find a job in that field? We all know those people that probably with all great intention, they don't want us to feel the feelings of failure or regret or disappointment because it makes them feel uncomfortable to watch us go through that because those feelings make them feel very uncomfortable when they happen to themselves. However, unintentionally, they can start to remove our level of self-confidence. Your upbringing. We all know what it's like as well. You grow up with your family's values and beliefs. Our family don't go to university. Our family must go to university. You're unacceptable if you don't go to university. So our upbringing can certainly affect the level of self-confidence that we have. Trauma. If people have gone through traumatic experience in the past, it absolutely knocks them about in a fundamental way and it can knock their self-confidence as well. Bullying and discrimination. One of the practices that I've worked with in the past for many, many years, they recently celebrated an anniversary and because of COVID, it was an in-house celebration with everybody standing far apart from each other. And one of the things they thought they'd do would go around to each staff member and they can have a bit of a speech and talk about what the practice has meant to them, what they feel about each other and the team and the patients and everything. And it was a truly delightful experience. One of the things that astounded me was a newer staff member that had come on board, and I had never seen any indication that she had a history like she had later said that she had. She just came in as a normal, friendly, confident person, seemingly confident. And she stood up, and the minute she went to open her mouth up, she started to cry. And she was saying that in past work experiences, she came from another country. I don't want to label it to make it too obvious of who I'm talking about, but she did come from another country. And she said, there I was heavily discriminated against. And I, where everybody else, they just got to do their normal duties, I had to do my normal duties and do the floor mopping and clean the toilet. And I'm the only one that had to do all those sort of things. I was the one that had to stay back late all the time. I was one that always had to have a shorter lunch break. And she started, and she was crying, and she said, I was so discriminated against. Now, I've lived a pristine life where I've never suffered discrimination. Thank goodness for that. Because seeing the impact it had on her was very upsetting. And her trying to battle out of that, difficult. So if you're being bullied or discriminated against on a regular basis, and that's what bullying is a consistent effort of harassment, where even though it's been that there's been requests put in place for that bullying to stop, that will absolutely knock your self-confidence. Gosh, look at a little puppy dog or any dog, any age dog that constantly gets beaten and it just cowers. And the same thing happens to people, that if you're constantly attacking their confidence and not treating them with a level of respect, it certainly makes them cower and therefore lose their level of confidence. Messages in the media, we have all heard that young people growing up with these beautiful images of beautiful people having beautiful lives can make you feel less than, and that your life isn't as great. And what causes low self-confidence, like we stated before, low self-confidence. And so low self-confidence teaches you how to feel low self-confidence. And this feeling of I am not enough, just terrible, such a sad face there. Oh. So what does a lack of confidence or confidence look like in terms of behaviour? A confident behaviour, left the U out there. I got this from an American site and I adjusted all of the spelling to Australian, but it or UK, but I missed that one. So confident behaviour, doing what you believe to be right, even if others mock or criticise you for it. That's confidence. Being willing to take risks and to go the extra mile to achieve better things. They see the goal of mastery or the goal of done or the goal of achievement, and they know they can get through that journey. They've got confidence in themselves to get through that journey, and so therefore it's worth it. And so they are willing to take the risks because they know they can get over the risks and go the extra mile to achieve better things. Admitting your mistakes and learning from them. Huge. Mistakes are part of growth, part of life. And I speak about this often, and I will continue to speak about it often because it's the repetition of the message that helps everyone remember that it is crucial for us to make mistakes in life if we have any desire to improve how we do things and how we live life. Waiting for others to congratulate you on your accomplishments. You're expecting it. Like, where's the glory? I'm awesome. Come on. Accepting compliments graciously. Thanks, I really worked hard on that prospectus. I'm pleased you recognise my efforts. As opposed to a low confidence response. And so whereas the confident response to doing what you believe to be right, even if others mock or criticise you, then all of a sudden what others think about you start governing your behaviour. So governing your behaviour based on what others think of you, this is absolutely evident in Facebook. And certainly in these times where there's, you know, really 10 sides to the argument around the government response to COVID, am I going to be stating what I believe to be true and what I've researched to be accurate, or am I going to retreat back, not say anything, and instead post things that other people will find more acceptable? Whereas the confident behaviour is being willing to take risks and go the extra mile to achieve better things, the less confident person is staying in your comfort zone, fearing failure and avoiding risk. The confident person admits mistakes and learns from them. The less confident person working hard to cover up mistakes and hoping that you can fix the problem before anyone else notices. I see this in teams quite often when there is a when there is an unhealthy management of mistakes in a workplace, in a working team in dental surgeries, everyone is trying to cover their own ass. They're so busy trying to cover their own ass that they are then making even more mistakes. Waiting for others to congratulate you on your accomplishments flips to extolling your own virtues as often as possible to as many people as possible. And believe me, I'm awesome. No, really, I am. please believe me. And where the confident person accepts compliments graciously, the less confident one dismisses them. Oh, that project was really nothing. Anyone could have done it. Now, what I would like to do, this is one more thing. What I want to touch on before I go to Charles's video is how to build confidence in others. As I said at the start of this presentation, just double checking my time here, that there are dental teams out there with team members who know what to do. They know the systems, they know the tasks that they need to master, and they've indeed probably mastered them. But the thing that's stopping them from becoming a great performer is their lack of self-confidence. And so what can you as managers of that team or participants in that team do to help build up people's confidence? Number one, if they're not going to acknowledge their own wins, you do it for them, and you can do it publicly or privately. I say and. So the good thing about being public in your acknowledgement of other people's wins is that everyone gets a chance to acknowledge that person, and it makes it an even richer experience for that person that everyone's now excited for their win. It also is part of good team culture. If they see you celebrating other people's wins, then they'll start celebrating each other's wins as well and patting each other on the back and be each other's cheerleader. It's also important too, because there's an intimacy when it's private, where you can bring somebody in and say to them, you know, this past week I've really been focused on how you manage the phones. And I've got to say, I'm so impressed. I hear from a lot of colleagues that they cringe when their receptionist answers the phone and when they hear the kind of conversations they're having. With you, I don't. I love hearing the way you manage people. Say, thank you for that. You're very good at that. And so a private acknowledgement of what they're great at is a very powerful thing in terms of boosting your team's confidence. Also, provide opportunities for growth. And I'm going to tie this in with create an environment of learning. As you know, for long-time attendees to the live sessions, one of the elements to great team culture is bringing into that team culture a philosophy of CANI, C-A-N-I, constant and never-ending improvement. What that does, it ensures that you have got a constantly improving team and business and way of managing your patients. Everything's improving constantly when the individuals within the team are improving constantly. One of the very many benefits of having and adopting a can I attitude, a can I philosophy within your team culture is that in order to do it, you have to create the environment for it. So it's a caring, supportive, cheerleading environment, allowing the mistakes and allowing people the practice and repetition it takes in order to become constantly better at what you do, to be on that journey of constant and never-ending improvement. But as those team members are involved in those processes of constant and never-ending improvement, so too their confidence in their own abilities is constantly increasing as well. because they are getting better and better all the time. They're not just sitting in comfort zone all the time. You're making it safe to be in the learning zone. We're not pushing them out to panic zone. You're making them, you're getting them in the learning zone, providing safety and support in that learning zone, so it doesn't freak them out and make them feel terribly, terribly uncomfortable, but they're going through some level of discomfort because they're learning new stuff all the time. But they're cared for in that journey, but they are constantly improving their skill set, and they are constantly being reminded by themselves and their own abilities that they're capable of more, of more, of more. And so creating an environment of learning and providing those opportunities for growth through additional training and all the rest of it is absolutely a tremendous way, a very powerful way of building confidence in your team members. Give autonomy with support. So training somebody isn't taking over and saying, just do it like me. Give that person the space to be able to try and practice something new, but always give them that support as well. Don't just push them out to the field and say, now go learn how to ride a bike, young child, and just push them out. Provide the necessary support and provide them the feedback in a caring way. Allow them to come to you the minute they've got a barrier to learning, but you are giving them the autonomy to do it on their own so they can develop that level of self-confidence. Embrace mistakes. Mistakes are a part of learning anything new. And so part of that environment that you're creating for them, you want them to be able to stretch themselves and try something new. Don't slap them on the hand when they get a slightly bit wrong, or even a big bit wrong, big or small. Mistakes are a part of learning, and they become part of the collective knowledge of your organization of how to get things done right. It's only bad attitude mistakes that won't be tolerated, but we're not talking about bad attitude here. We're talking about building confidence in each other and your team members. Remind people of their capabilities. I've said before, reward the behaviors you want repeated in your practice. Don't just punish the behaviors you don't want seen repeated. But don't just reward the behaviors you want repeated, but remind people of the stuff they already should know. They've got those nasty voices in the back of their head going, you're not good enough. But remind them, be the stronger voice over that negative voice. You are a great receptionist. You are a great nurse. I love how you manage to move the suction exactly where I want you to move it to. You are awesome. Thank you. I love working with you. My day will be easy now because I'm working with you. So remind people of what their capabilities are. State it out loud. I know you can do this. I have confidence in you. Tell them words of confidence. Another key strategy in helping boost confidence in people is to have them train others. So if the receptionist needs to learn a little bit about steri, get the dental nurse to train them in steri. Get the one that's not all that confident to train them in steri. It reminds them of how much they do know. And it also reminds them that not everyone knows everything. And again, Charles talks about this. The amount of stuff to know in the world is enormous. And we all know this tiny little thing. Everyone knows this tiny, even the most brilliant person on the face of the earth knows this tiny little thing. And so it helps them understand and embrace the fact that, sure, I don't know everything. I don't need to feel incompetent, though, because I know my stuff really well. And they don't know my stuff. So I can help train them, and that's what I've got over them. And so we all have our areas of knowledge, and we can derive confidence from that. And it's highlighted when we train others. And certainly celebrate wins along the way. And just like with goals, you don't want to have a goal that you want to reach in 12 months' time and then not look at it again for 12 months. You want to celebrate all the wins all along the way to keep momentum up, to keep motivation up, and to make sure that we're on the right path. Celebrate wins along the way as well. So if you've given a staff member a task to do, such as train somebody else, then come in partway through and say, I'm seeing how you're training them. You're going fantastic. You're a great trainer. Rather than just waiting for the end of the task and say, oh, great, they know how to do the steri now. That's good. Thanks so much. So celebrate the wins along the way as well. Now, let me play you. I think we're going pretty well to time. I'm going to get you, we might be about 10 minutes over. So I hope that's okay. Now, this is the section of the podcast that speaks about confidence. Actually, it's at 9 minute mark. So let me go to the 9 minute mark. 9, 9. Beautiful. We're loading.
Relevant issues to life in the 21st century. So, today's big idea. Secrets and insights to self-confidence. How confident are you, generally? How confident are you in your ability to do what you want to do? How confident are you that you can achieve your goals? I consider, with the many people I've worked with over the years, many people don't write their goals out because they're not confident that they can achieve them. So they've got these deeply held goals, but they're not confident. What do you do when your children, teenage children, even younger, don't have confidence? Children in their 20s, when they don't have self-confidence, what can you do about that? This idea of having self-confidence enables you, when you have self-confidence, you're willing to have a go. You're willing to embrace challenges. You know, here's the Tour de France. That's why it's relevant to this conversation about the self-confidence to do difficult things. Where does this confidence come from? It comes from belief in yourself. It comes from this belief that I can do this. Now, here's the problem with this belief, I can do this. We are, as human beings, acutely conscious about all the things that we can't do. I'm absolutely clear, and it's not a belief issue, I'm absolutely clear that I cannot run 100 meters in 10 seconds. I'm absolutely clear that the time has passed for me to be able to do a bike ride like the Tour de France, although I did go to France for 2 weeks of riding in the Alps, which was a wonderful experience. I am very clear about the beliefs of the vast range, the beliefs that I have about the vast range of things that I can't do. But I have beliefs there are certain things that I can do. And the problem is that what I can't do is far, far greater than what I can do. And what I believe I can't do is far, far greater than what I believe I can do. And so, because of this awareness, it's far too easy to beat ourselves up because we can't do something, and then we start telling ourselves, I'm hopeless, I'm useless, I'll never be able to do that. And the more that we say that, we are then implanting directions, instructions into our subconscious mind that says, you can't do that, you're not good enough. When other people tell us, you're not good enough, you made a mistake, you failed, Charles, you are hopeless, it's very easy to internalize that criticism. And then the younger you become, it becomes even more impactful. And when we learn something with emotion, we never forget those lessons. When you learn something with emotion, you never forget. And so young people have these traumatic experiences, and in the media, right around the world, young people and the criticism in social media, it's so easy to internalize this external criticism. And then, of course, how on earth could you possibly have self-confidence? How on earth could you possibly feel in yourself, I can do this? That's why we lose it. But of course, a 2-year-old child, 3-year-old child who's learning to play a game has entire self-confidence, like amazing amounts of confidence. And so in a somewhat playful way, it reminds me of why I say in my workshops and why I say to you that wonderful line from the New Testament in the Bible, the kingdom of God belongs to little children. I say to people, be like a little child. You know, embrace life's challenges, no matter how old you are, as if you were a three-year-old. Just imagine that. Have a go. Gosh, I made a mistake. I'll have another go. So it is easy to see how we can lose our self-confidence. We're born with it, and then we lose it, many of us. And then we don't have confidence, and then we stop doing anything difficult because we're worried about it. So how do we rebuild it? How do we help others who come to us who, or that we see, you might have high self-confidence, but others don't. What can you do about that? I have 7 steps for you. And these 7 steps work. They work for you. They work for others, for children, for teenagers, for young adults, for people in their 70s. First step, write out a list of all of your achievements in your life to date. And many times you will need some assistance with this, and that's why the self-awareness and passion quest is one of the ways that you can get assistance, but you can get it from friends, you can get it from relatives, people who know you well. Even my 9-year-old daughter, Isabella, has got a series of achievements. And if she writes that out, that makes her recognize what she's achieved. Because I have often fallen into the trap, and I have seen other people fall into the trap, that they say, well, I can do that, but anyone can do that. That's not true. Each one of us has got this amazing list of achievements. Second step, write out your gratitude list. And when I say write, I don't mean type. I really urge you to put these lists into a permanent diary, a book that you write by hand. So list number 2 is a list of things in your life for which you are grateful. And I have never found a person who has not got an extensive list of things that they can be grateful for. Step number 3, prepare a list of what you have learnt. This is different to your achievements, different to your gratitude list. What have you learnt? And I've done this list in the past in my own life, it's an extraordinary list of what I've learnt, of all of the things. Water polo, learning to play water polo, learning how to run teams, learning how to chair meetings, learning all of the elements of my law degree. Gosh, it's a long list. You will have a similarly long list. The 4th step is to write out your description of who you are, your self-identity. And I urge you to make this positive, of deeply expressing, you don't have to share this with anybody, deeply expressing to yourself in writing who you are. I don't want to give you directions on precisely how to do it. If you send me an email to charles@covest.com, I'm happy to give you some guidance. But this identity of yours is a crucial element to crafting how you can make yourself feel by focusing on this identity of yours. The 5th step, on a daily basis, repeat your identity description to yourself. You can do it morning, noon, and night. You can take this piece of paper and read to yourself aloud who you actually are. The 6th step is guard your thoughts. Because, as I said earlier, there's a vast amount of things you don't know how to do, and a tiny amount comparatively that you do know what to do. You must guard your thoughts and not say to yourself, I'm an idiot, I'm useless, I'm stupid. Stop saying that from this moment on. Guard your thoughts. When you tend towards that, you take your thoughts and you put them on your identity. You put them on your gratitude list. You put them on your list of what you've learned. You put them on your achievements. Guarding your thoughts is a crucial element to rebuilding self-confidence and being reminded of all of the wonderful achievements, the wonderful accomplishments you as a human being have already achieved. Step number 7 is to remind yourself that life is a game. Stop taking this experience of life as one of almost 8 billion people, that this is desperately, desperately serious. I don't think it is. I think that's part of the secret. I know the way to live this life is to dance through life. And when shit happens, you embrace the shit because shit makes wonderful manure for growing. And it leads to my quote for the day, which I'll share with you now because it's very relevant. It's by one of my favorite spiritual authors, Anthony DeMello. And he said this: pleasant experiences make life delightful. Painful experiences lead to growth. Pleasant experiences make life delightful. Painful experiences lead to growth. So when shit happens, your joyful thinking process is, wow, I'm growing. And from my earlier episodes, you know if you're not growing and learning, you are dying. So this ties into the willingness to make mistakes, to fail. No, this is just a game. You wake up in the morning and you play the game. And as you choose to play the game, your self-confidence begins to rebuild. The people that you're helping to build their self-confidence, it rebuilds. The song of the week.
So that was Charles's presentation. I hope you really enjoyed that and got a lot out of it, like I did when he first presented it and when we were recording it. And one of the things of guard your thoughts is something I'm going to touch on.
I bet you'll never guess what it is. Come on.
Let me just move to the next slide. So I'm going to go back to Bridget in a second. So how to build your self-confidence. First of all, take on challenging things. When you take on something challenging and embrace that learning process and the process of overcoming barriers, you are building your own self-confidence. You are telling yourself you are a hugely capable human being and you can get through stuff and make life better and more entertaining. So take on challenging things. Do what Charles suggested you do. One of the things he said, write a list of your achievements to date. List all the reasons why you should feel confident. Another one, write a list of a gratitude list as well. A list of what you have learned over your years on this earth and write out a description of who you are. So list all the reasons why you should feel confident. Remind yourself all the things you have achieved to date. So it can start to replace that thought in your head, oh, you're too old to learn anything new and you're not good enough to look at all the stuff that I've done. Of course, I'm pretty awesome. Another thing that I've found too is physical exercise and weightlifting for sure as well. I went through a process of, I did this program called Body for Life years and years ago, and it was trying to build up muscle. And what I found was when I was feeling physically strong, I was then feeling much more bold and much more confident. So physical exercise directly links back to yourself, the self-confidence that you carry with you throughout your life. Also, become more self-reliant. And this is a time when you reflect back to childhood where you're starting to have your parents say, now you can do your own washing up. You can cook them at the evening meal this time. You can start to drive around the place and do errands for us. And so when you are becoming more self-reliant, your self-confidence improves as well. Improve your self-esteem. and your self-confidence will improve. And so that's just believing in yourself. So your self-esteem is your perceptions around you as a human being. And if you believe in yourself that you have been put on this earth, you've got all of your limbs working. You can see, taste, hear, smell, touch. You have no disabilities. And for example, with myself, I consider myself extremely lucky. I don't even have asthma. I have nothing wrong with me. I never went through university. I didn't get born into a wealthy, wealthy family or into a royal family. But I have got everything I need to achieve whatever I would like to in this life. So believe in yourself, your core self, that you are a gift to this universe, and with that gift of life, just because of the fact that you are worthy of the gift of life, means that you are a worthwhile human being. People love you. They love having you in their lives. They thank God for you every day. So thank God for yourself every day. Improve your body language, the way you hold yourself. I mean, we can always see people who are, you know, lacking in confidence compared to those that aren't lacking in confidence at all. So improve your body language. A previous live session, we spoke about moving through life with grace and charm. The focus was around charm. And researching charm and the impact of presenting on charm has really stayed with me. And so I'm finding myself, I'm certainly holding my body in a more confident way. And you come across more confident and you appear more confident to others. And so they react to you in kind, which then again helps feed your confidence, which is glorious. Seeing the building of confidence as a journey, as Charles said, point number seven, remind yourself that life is a game. So this journey of life, this journey of building your confidence, isn't in an instant. You don't just decide one day, I want to be more confident, and then think, now I'm more confident. It is a journey of building skills up, experiences up, resilience up, in order to build up your self-confidence. Now, I want to leave you with, or it's not so much leave you with, we're leading up to the last slide, and we're just at 6:02, so you'll probably go through to 10 past 6. But I wanted to share a story about myself and my experience in terms of confidence and other elements as well. There were some things that used to go on in my brain. One of the things was, I don't get enough done every day. Another one was, as many of you know, I'm part of Toastmasters, where we're asked to get up and speak in front of an audience on multiple occasions as well. So I would always have that sense of anxiety before I'd get up and speak. And addressing those couple of things then, and having success with the method that I tried, then helped me tackle self-confidence as well. And I don't think I ever had a real big issue with negative self-confidence, but I also didn't walk through life thinking I could take on anything either. And so I've got here as the last point, repeat a mantra. First of all, I'm going to play you something that I listen to, that I then listen to every day with my mantra. And it certainly has helped shift me. I'll tell you a bit more about my journey with that in a second. Let's go back to Dr. Bruce Lipton. And if any of you know about Dr. Bruce Lipton, if you don't know about him, he wrote The Biology of Belief. And it is about the environment that we put ourselves of our bodies in creates our reality and our futures. And it's extraordinary stuff that he talks about. His videos are everywhere. So do, as Molly Meldrum used to say, do yourself a favor. Go out and get Biology of Belief and read it or listen to it on audiobook, but also tap into Bruce Lipton on YouTube and start watching a whole bunch of his videos. This is the one that I found very useful.
95% of our life is coming from the programs of life, how to live life, that we get in the first 7 years of life. That's why poor people stay poor and rich people stay rich. The movie The Matrix is not science fiction. It's a documentary. Every human, and it's a fact, every human first 7 years is download, a hypnosis. The brain of a child under seven is in a lower vibrational frequency. When you put wires on a person's head, you read electroencephalograph, reading brain activity. A child below seven has a lower vibration than consciousness. It's called Theta. Theta is imagination. Oh, that's how kids play a tea party with mud pies, but to them it's a real thing. A kid rides a broom, it's a horse. That's Theta, imagination. Theta is also hypnosis. And the idea is this: before you can become conscious, if you don't have any programs, what are you going to be conscious of? So nature makes the first 7 years. What kind of programs are required to live on this planet? I say, how do you get them? Theta is hypnosis. You just watch. You watch your parents, you watch your siblings and your community, because you have to learn how many 100,000 rules. Think about it. Just to be a functional member of a family and a functional member of a community, there are rules. I teach an infant these rules. I say, oh, you don't have to. First 7 years, they observe it and just download it. Look, this is not new. I mean, there's the famous book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Sure. And basically said, you come from a poor family and you could struggle your whole life and try to get rich, but you're not going to make it. And if you come from a rich family, you could be stupid your whole life and make it. Not because it was thinking, but it was unconscious behavior that was downloaded from rich families into kids, which is unconscious. So they're making the right moves unconsciously. If they engage their conscious mind, then they look stupid, but it's unconscious. And that's the same thing with poor people. Poor people have beliefs from the family. Oh, you can't make it, life's a struggle, things are hard, who do you think you are? And if that's the program you get, then 95% of the day you will sabotage yourself. And that's why poor people stay poor and rich people stay rich, because the programming. 95% of our life, this is a fact, comes from those programs in the subconscious. Every day, only about 5% of their life are you using conscious, which is creative. 5%.
So your life is being lived, even though you think you're living your life.
Exactly, and you don't see it because it's called subconscious, below conscious. And the Jesuits, for 400 years, they were boasting. People didn't understand. They say, give me a child until it's 7 and I will show you the man. They've been saying that for 400 years because they knew 7 years was the program period. And 95% of your life after that will be whatever that program is. So you don't have to try and think about what happened. I just say, look at your life. The things you like that come into your life come in because you have a program that supports them. But anything you struggle with, work hard at, put a lot of effort into making it happen while you're working so hard, inevitably, you have a program that doesn't support that conclusion and you're trying to override the program. So you don't need to do a lot of shrink and psychology stuff. You just look at your life and say, where am I struggling? Because wherever you're struggling, inevitably it's a program in your subconscious that does not support that destination you've been looking for. The conscious mind is creative and can learn in any number of ways. Read a self-help book, go to a lecture, listen to this program, and conscious mind's going to get some awareness. And I go, yeah, but subconscious mind doesn't learn that way. I go, right, it doesn't. Subconscious mind learns in two fundamental ways naturally. Hypnosis, which is the first 7 years. And after age 7, how do you put new programs in? Repetition. Practice. You want to drive a car, you didn't learn how by just getting in the seat and put the key in. You had to practice driving the car. You want to learn the alphabet. How many times did you go from A to Z? Try to go to A to Z before you can complete it. And once you completed it, you didn't have to go back and do it again. So two phases. You want to train the subconscious mind? Hypnosis. Repetition. I like the last one because there's a new phrase that's bandied about called fake it till you make it. Mm. Meaning, if you're not a happy person, I say, you want to be a happy person? Then repeat all the time, I'm happy, I'm happy. I say, well, you don't look happy or anything. I say, no, who am I talking to? By repetition, I'm talking to subconscious. Okay. If subconscious gets, I am happy, and 95% of your life comes from that subconscious, there will be a point once the subconscious got, I am happy, you don't have to say it again.
Okay.
It'll be automatic.
And that's why we see people do affirmations and gratitude journals and stuff, because if you do that daily...
It's repetitive. That's the secret part. Putting a sticky note on the refrigerator is more like a suggestion, but it's not a repetition. So it doesn't work very well. But you have to do... Repetition is a habit. It's making habit. So you got to do something religiously in a sense of repeating it to make it work.
So I hope that was interesting for you and inspiring. The part of that Dr. Bruce Lipton presentation that really tweaked my interest was that there are two times where we can start to shift the programs or the internal beliefs within our brains, within our subconscious. One is hypnosis up to the age of 7. Of course, I'm way beyond 7 years old now. What hope do I have? But the second one was repetition. So I did a little experiment. I found that having that music in the background of the Bruce Lipton video helped keep me engaged in whatever he was saying. And so I thought, oh, I'll get some nice music with no words, but just nice background music going on. So I put my earpod in, my earplugs in, and I started off. I started playing that clip of Dr. Bruce Lipton every single time I went on my 1 hour walk every day. And for the first 5 minutes, I'd listen to that. Then I'd shift into this other music that I had going. And my experiment was, first of all, I wanted to tackle my feelings that I feared that I wasn't being productive enough through the day. And I started saying to myself over and over again, I'm super productive, I'm super productive, I'm super productive, I'm super productive. So I'd be on my walk and a little bit of murmuring in my mouth and a little bit of it just going on in my brain. I'd repeat this over and over and over and over again. I'm super productive, I'm super productive, I'm super productive, I'm super productive, I'm super productive. And I just kept on at it. And what I found after, I think it was initially after maybe 10 or 20 minutes, what I found was that even I started having other conscious thought go on. So I was thinking about, oh, what could I do in that situation? And that's going on as well. And I've got to ring mum later on. And that client, oh, I think I can think of a way around that issue with that one client for them. And I'd have all this normal conscious thought going on. But what I was amazed at is that I still had in the background, I'm super productive, I'm super productive. I still had that tape running. And one of the things that excited me was, so I can have a conscious thought and then I can have this background tape running that I've planted in it, and I don't think there's room now for the negative thought of, are you productive enough? I don't think you're productive enough. I couldn't hear those voices anymore. And so I thought, gosh, I felt like I was getting onto something. So then every single day at my 1 hour daily walk, it doesn't have to be a 1 hour, and it can be while you're driving, it can be any, and I've since found out it can be any time, that just repeat it over and 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 over until it shifts into a background noise for you. That's the new background noise. And then after a number of weeks, maybe weeks, was it? I don't think it was even weeks. Matt, I'm going to say 2 weeks. That's what's coming naturally to my brain. After a couple of weeks, I felt like I didn't need that mantra anymore. I felt super productive. And not only did I feel super productive, I was acting more productively without even forcing myself to, because, of course, my subconscious is telling me I'm super productive now. So now, of course, I can take on all these things. Often I'd have a diary filled with stuff. And I would think, I hope somebody cancels because I don't have enough time to get everything done. Or I'd have something else call me, someone else call me up and say, can you do this for me? And I'd be like, oh, my God, I don't have time. But with that tape constantly playing, I'm super productive, I'm super productive, I'm super productive, I then started acting like a super productive person. And so when someone would call me and say, can you do this thing? I said, sure, yep. And I just had this belief that it would get done, and it would get done. So then I started tackling another area. So when I was standing up at Toastmasters wanting to present, I started the mantra of, I'm a super presenter, I'm a super presenter, I'm a super presenter. I don't know why the word super resonates with me. Find the word that resonates with you. I'm a super presenter, I'm a super presenter, I'm a super presenter. And so then I start that mantra. Now I don't need that one anymore either. Just after a few weeks, I don't need that one anymore either. So then I shifted into confidence. I'm super confident, I'm super confident, I'm super confident. And I now say that the minute any, like a potential new client comes on board or an existing or potential client raises up an issue that I go, oh my God, I haven't tackled that one before. Gosh, that's going to be a tricky one. The minute I start to hear that voice, maybe you're not good enough, maybe you're not skilled enough, maybe you don't know enough, maybe this is where you fail. The minute I can sense that, I started up, I'm super confident, I'm super confident, I'm super confident, I'm super confident. And it changes the way I tackle and embrace the stuff that's going on. from powerless to powerful, from maybe it's not going to work out to of course it's going to work out. I'm super confident, totally confident here. So this repetition that Dr. Bruce Lipton inspired within me has absolutely helped me in multiple different belief systems and programs that I've got going on in my head. And he's absolutely right. Once you've shifted that program, you don't need the mantra anymore. And it's a freeing feeling. And you get to a point where you think, this just seems like repetition, but then you will find that moment in time where you go, oh, there's progress. I've had progress. And I think what I could have done and what I suggest for you guys to do if you're going to go down this path is what just say that we're talking about confidence. If you're talking about self-confidence, write on a scale of 1 to 10 how you are. And the minute that a figure comes into your head, write it down. That's your subconscious telling you how self-confident you feel. And then lock that away somewhere, write it down somewhere, pop it on a post-it note somewhere. Go through the mantra, go through the Bruce Lipton process. And then after a couple of weeks, ask yourself the same question. And whereas before you may have said, how self-confident do you feel out of 1 to 10, 10 being extremely self-confident, 0 being have no self-confidence whatsoever, maybe I'm a 4. I guarantee you with total confidence that after a couple of weeks of doing the mantra every day, wherever you are, you could be working away doing it, suctioning while you're doing it. Then after a couple of weeks asking yourself the same question, you will boost up beyond belief. Beyond belief. It is a process that I feel so confident in. It had such a big impact on me, and I hope it has an impact on you too. If you're going to go down that path, let me know how you go. I'd love to know if it works for everybody else as well. So sharing the screen for one last time. I know that we're running over 6:17, and I'm going to go to quickly how to build your own. Oh, you know, I've gone through that. Sorry. A quote from Theodore Roosevelt. Each time we face our fear, we gain strength, courage, and confidence in the doing. And I've spoken earlier about doing things that challenge us in order to boost self-confidence. Facing your fears and moving beyond them, now that's confidence building. That's enormous. And so if you want to go to that next step, all the things that make you fearful, recognize those moments are the ones that you must tackle. That fears me, therefore I must tackle it, because the boost in your self-confidence will be enormous when you're actually overcoming fears in order to move forward in life. That's extraordinary. Okay, so I hope you got value out of that presentation. Going to the Trello board, the slides and therefore the links to the two videos that I played will be within the Trello card. And if you're looking at the recording in the other through the Club Hub, they'll be listed there as well, so you can access them anytime. I do suggest you keep the links to both of them, listen to them a few times over. It certainly helped me listening to them a few times over and just seeing how it can shift your level of self-confidence and how you tackle your days and challenges going forward. So just quickly on the daily focus, it is going to be around self-confidence. So there's going to be a couple of ones. So first of all, we're going to be addressing how to develop self-confidence in your team members. And so each day we're going to be focusing on something different, and then we're going to be shifting into Charles's list of 7 ways of building self-confidence up. And just as a reminder, and as each 7 will be a daily task to get each one of those steps done. So I hope you enjoy that fun exercise that will hopefully lead you to a more powerful tomorrow. Our next session is coming up. That is session number 40, such a round figure. And if you are, let me just stop sharing for a moment. I don't think I am sharing anymore. No, I'm not. And if you are rejoining us as a paid member, I can't wait to have you on board. I forgot to mention before as well that if you are in a financial situation where it's going to be challenging for you to get the Club Basic membership at $49 a month, there is a discount code ASSIST, ASSIST, all in caps. Put that in as a discount code. You get a further 6 months of membership for nothing. I look forward to seeing you all jump on board and re-register. And for those of you that do, I really look forward to seeing you at Wednesday's live session next week. And if you have any questions at all, please always holler. I'm right here for you. I'll speak to you next time. See you later.